Hi, I'm Beth Massey, and I'm here with Joe Binder, a program manager on the Light Switch team. How you doing, Joe?
Good, Beth. How's it going?
It's been a while, but we've done a video before for Channel 9.
Yeah, back in the early days of Light Switch.
And yeah.
It's fun to be in here again and do some of this newer stuff that we've been talking about.
Yeah, so I'm super excited about what Jason Zander announced at TechEd yesterday. HTML client for LightSwitch. That's something that the community has been asking for from us, right?
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of requests for not only HTML, but also for an application offering that will run on a variety of devices.
Right.
You know, we continue to hear that people are bringing their own devices to the workplace. They want to be able to run their business apps on those devices. And for a lot of folks, it's just not feasible to go and write a native application for every single device that people have.
Right. Although with the opening up of the middle tier with OData services, they could write any application that they
want,
right?
And that was kind of our first step, was to take the data tier and all that middle tier logic, which is a lot of the value that LightSwitch provides,
right,
and open that up to anybody. So with Visual Studio 2012, you'll be able to do that. And this is kind of the next step to provide a client offering that talks to the OData feed as well.
Okay, so how does it, so we still have a Silverlight client though available, right? So why would we use HTML over the Silverlight?
Yeah, you know, we get a lot of questions about that, as you might imagine, and really we view the HTML client as very much a companion to the existing Silverlight client.
Okay.
And if you think of what the Silverlight client is good at, it's a desktop app, it's good at our traditional line of business scenarios, bulk data entry, keyboard and mouse input. It's really productive to just use, you know, for day in and day out stuff.
Okay.
It's really not intended for devices, since we know a lot of devices don't allow plugins.
Right.
It's not going to work there. And it also isn't very touch-centric, and that's kind of by design.
However, if you need to interact with, like, Office or...
Yeah, all those...
That kind of stuff, or traditional, like, eye scanners and that,
yep,
printers and... Then you do want to use the Silverlight client.
Yeah, and we've seen a lot of great extensions out there for the existing Silverlight client for those types of things. You know, integrating with Excel, integrating with Outlook, all that sort of stuff, QuickBooks, all those types of things, that's really the bread and butter of the Silverlight client.
So the HTML client that you're saying is just, that's just extending the application so that the mobile workforce can really use the data that the application is. On the other end, you're entering and manipulating a little bit more deeper.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And the way we typically think of it as this companion is that the HTML client is more about consuming the data,
mm-hmm,
and the Silverlight desktop client is really well-suited for getting that data in there, kind of massaging it into whatever form. Maybe it's in Excel. Maybe it's in another data source.
Cool.
And then the HTML client is really just about viewing that in a compelling kind of touch-centric way.
Although you can edit all the data through the HTML
client. You can.
Okay.
It's just a lot of devices don't have keyboards, so, you know.
It's a little bit more clunky, I guess, for high-volume data entry is still meant Silverlight client.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we have multiple clients then for our LightSwitch applications.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's interesting. That must have been a pretty big challenge to try and figure out how to make a cool experience for a LightSwitch developer then. Huh?
Yeah, you know, as you might imagine, there are a lot of different ways we could have tackled this, but really what we wanted to maintain was that simplicity of maintaining your configuration for your app and just adding new value to that.
Okay.
So if we jump inside Visual Studio,
let's take a look.
We've got our existing Silverlight desktop app.
Okay.
And this, as I said, is really intended for these kind of data entry, you know, real bread and butter type scenarios. This is for a moving company, and this app exists today, and it's used to schedule move requests.
Okay.
So if you're
that's the new Silverlight shell, right?
Yeah.
The Cosmopolitan shell.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, and you'll see that we've really tried to unify some of the visual language that we're using between the Silverlight and HTML client.
Okay.
And they're both kind of following the Metro-inspired design. You know, we've gotten a lot of real constructive feedback on the first iteration of LightSwitch, and this is the response to that, and kind of cleaned up the UI, kind of got rid of a lot of the elements that people weren't too thrilled about. So
okay, cool.
Here we can create a new appointment. We've got all of our logic here. So we've got some queries written in our middle tier that'll go ahead and filter out the employees that'd be able to go and visit this based on their availability. So that's all plumbed in.
So all the logic that you write in the middle tier, though, it works regardless of the client.
Absolutely.
Right? That's where you're really spending most of your time and your business roles is in your data model in the middle tier,
yep,
services side.
Yeah, okay. And the great thing is that when you add that metadata to the entities and you say, oh, here's my summary property, here's some declarative validation, I want only accept this range of values or whatever, the HTML client will still honor all of that.
Cool. Right.
The one piece that the HTML client doesn't honor, obviously, is any client-side code that you've written, just because it's JavaScript and not .NET.
Gotcha. Cool. Cool, but like I said, so most of the stuff you're really going to be spending time in your middle tier business roles, and so that's like the same idea as if you're creating these OData services is really what you're doing.
Yep.
Right. Any other client, and why not the HTML client, respects all of those rules and permissions, right? Security. And
absolutely.
Too. So that's,
yep,
that's really cool.
Yeah. So let's just kind of jump into the project here, and I can walk you through a little bit of that. So we won't save our appointments. If you take a look at Solution Explorer, you'll see all of that logic there. So some of these queries, you know, are where I commonly find I'm implementing a lot of this business logic. So I just cooked up a query here to go define all the employees that would be available during a particular time frame.
Okay.
And this is just really business-specific stuff, pretty sophisticated, and it's going to work exactly as is. We can use this query without modification in the HTML client.
By the way, I know the Solution Explorer looks a little bit different, actually. There's an extra level, node level.
Yeah, so
we're in client?
Yeah, so
okay.
One of the things that's really interesting is that you can now publish just the server if you just want to publish your OData feed. So we separated those aspects of Solution Explorer so that, you know, you can tell what you're exposing to the world.
And that's available as of the RC.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And you also have this new client node, which contains all of our Silverlight desktop screens.
Okay.
And we can also just go in and add new clients here. So just a real simple dialog. You can see that there's only one choice right now for an HTML client, and we'll just call it mobile client. And you'll notice in parentheses here, there's this startup thing, which it's kind of similar for folks who are using Visual Studio a lot today, this kind of notion of a startup project.
Mm-hmm.
It applies to Lightswitch as well, and when you add a new client, we just set that as the default startup client.
Okay, gotcha.
And I think you'll find that most of the experiences for building this up are really pretty similar. We've got the screen templates, the screen designer, the entity designer still work exactly as is.
Okay.
The templates are a little bit different. They're obviously more mobile-oriented. We have a pretty Spartan list for the CTP, but
okay,
we're working on fleshing these out a little bit more. But I'm just going to choose my upcoming appointments, and we'll just go ahead and hit F5 and see what we see here. All right, so here's our first app, real simple stuff. We're just showing, you know, a simple list here. If we were viewing this on the device, the cool thing is that these lists are all touch-enabled, so you can flick your finger and we do the inertial scrolling and all that kind of stuff. Everything you'd really expect from a modern app.
Gotcha.
What we'd like to probably do now is customize this a little bit and then start building out the app so I can tap on an item and start to see the details for that appointment.
Cool.
So we'll go ahead and use that other screen template we've got there.
And so the screen designer is very similar then.
It's exactly the same.
It's the content tree, just like we're used to. Then.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and you know, one kind of interesting aside is that when we started building Lightswitch, we actually knew that we wanted to be able to target a lot of platforms. So a lot of the metadata we collect through our designers is actually agnostic to the platform. And this is the exact same screen designer we had for Silverlight that we just kind of replumbed for building HTML assets.
Cool.
So here I'm going to build a detail screen, and we're going to take the appointment, and we'll show the photos and the rooms for that as well. And one of the cool things that we added for the HTML client was this ability to plumb together the navigation of the app without actually having to write code.
Okay.
Because if you think of, there are a few places with our first version where you had to write code where it kind of felt like this code's kind of boilerplate. So
mm-hmm.
we've been working to get rid of those and make them a more you know,
like kind screen of, workflow,
exactly.
meaning like calling another screen, passing
yep.
a parameter, yeah,
exactly.
Right code, okay.
Yep. So what you'll see is that when you select an item in the screen designer, there's this actions area over here. Right now we have a total of one action for tap, so that
okay.
means when you tap on a list item, what's going to happen?
Okay.
We'll be adding more things like swipe and hold and all that kind of stuff.
Cool.
If we click on that, we get this pretty simple dialog that says, what do you want to do when the user taps on an item? And in this case, we want to show that detail screen. And because this takes a parameter, we're going to have to basically provide the data binding expression for that parameter.
Okay.
So we're going to pass the appointment item, the selected item.
Cool.
Now, there's one interesting thing about this is that in V1, you had to pass the ID of the entity, and then we would go query the entity,
right.
and it was kind of cumbersome. So now we actually support passing the entire entity to the screen, and you don't have to do all that
as
query
an
logic.
Object itself.
Exactly.
So it's like in-memory object,
mm-hmm.
passing over, okay,
yep.
without having to go back and query it. That's
exactly.
cool. That's
yeah,
nice.
So the nice thing about that, too, is that if you've made changes to, let's say, this appointment on one screen, you'll see them immediately
it
in the other.
Cool.
Yeah. So we'll go ahead and do that. And hit F5 here, and you'll see our list now, when we tap on it, it's going to go ahead and show that detail. So here's our
okay.
detail screen. Pretty bare bones. There one kind of subtle difference here is that all the UI by default is read-only in the HTML clients. From a control standpoint, we're going to go ahead and edit this in a second here, but
okay.
Kind of optimizing more for people reading this data as opposed to out of the box editing it.
Okay, because that's more of a use case scenario for a companion app,
right?
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about how we can start customizing the UI on this front
yeah.
page. And, you know, one of the things that we've really been trying to do as we continue iterating on Lightswitch and improving it is we take the feedback that even we got for the Silverlight client, and we've been really trying to apply that to the HTML client and the Silverlight client. So I mentioned that with the UI. We got
mm-hmm.
a lot of feedback on the UI, so I think folks will find the UI that you get out of the box for the HTML client is much closer to what you would expect.
Okay.
And the other piece is that we get tons and tons of forum posts about, I want to customize the UI. I want
yes.
conditional formatting of this and that and the other thing.
I just want to change the color of the title bar.
Exactly. So all of that is done pretty easily in the HTML client. And we've done that through two events that are provided. The first is this post-render event, and if you go to any control that's in the screen designer, you'll see that there's just a link for same write code gesture here,
mm-hmm.
and we'll click post-render. And what this means is that Lightswitch has created the control, and we can go ahead and add whatever CSS we want to this. We can add additional formatting. So let's say that I wanted to make an appointment red if it was overdue. I would just basically set that CSS value directly in code here, and I wouldn't have to rewrite my own custom control and all
gotcha.
That kind of stuff.
Okay.
And the other one is the ability to basically replace the existing control with something that you've written yourself. And this is really similar to the custom control scenario we had for
right.
the Silverlight client. The main difference here is that you can actually define that control right inside the project.
Okay.
You don't have to go
cool.
to another, create another project and then import it and all that stuff. So right inside here, I can just change this to a custom control and then implement the render function. And this is just Lightswitch's way of letting us jump in here and tell Lightswitch what we want the control to look like.
Cool.
So we can go ahead and do that now, and because this is in JavaScript, you'll notice it's not an HTML file, we can actually do kind of neat things. Conditional formatting based on the state of the data, we might generate a different presentation or control based on, you know, the type of appointment or whatever. And also, we can use existing functionality like jQuery. So let's build our custom UI here. And this is just standard jQuery syntax.
So that's what we're using is jQuery and Lightswitch.
Yeah, so when we started this effort, we knew that, you know, the JavaScript community has been vibrant for many,
right.
many decades, really. And there are a lot of frameworks out there that just are super useful in building these types of apps. jQuery, obviously, is really useful for manipulating the DOM.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use instead of, you know, using those kind of interesting APIs we have for Silverlight in terms of looking up the content tree at runtime, you can just use jQuery to use a selector and go find the elements.
Okay.
And our UI is actually built using jQuery Mobile,
okay,
which is more of an app framework. Mm-hmm. And the reason why we went with jQuery Mobile is that it's a great companion to Lightswitch. Their charter is really, they want to make building mobile websites really easy.
Okay.
So they've built a lot of controls, they've built a lot of kind of low-level constructs around pages and navigation.
It has a big community.
Yeah, real strong community. It's in version 1. They just released 1.1 not too long ago, but it's already got a huge following. It's a great framework, and that's what all of our controls are. They're all jQuery Mobile controls, and we use a lot of the jQuery Mobile controls.
Gotcha.
In our...
Because there's a lot of choices out there.
Yeah, I mean, certainly...
And they seem to change, like, daily. Like, the, you know, like, a JavaScript library seems to have a lot of updates, though. Like,
yeah, I think in the past, you know, in the past few months, one of the things that we've had to adjust to just... internally is the rate of change.
Yeah.
You know? And I'll show you a little bit about how we're thinking about that moving forward, because we know that we're going to ship this thing, and a new version of jQuery is going to come out, and a new version of jQuery Mobile, and we want people to be able to take advantage of those immediately without having to wait for a new version of Lightswitch.
Awesome.
So let's just add some basic, we'll add some really dumb HTML here.
Okay.
Kind of the hello world example.
You got it after.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. My keyboard is killing me.
Let's keep you on your toes.
Yeah.
There you go.
So once we've added our basic HTML, this gives us back a jQuery element.
Okay.
We can then take the element, which is passed in as a parameter, and we'll use jQuery again to just append our custom UI to that. We could do it via the append, or you could also do, you could take our custom UI.
It's cool we get IntelliSense and all that stuff in JavaScript editing.
Yeah, it's kind of half there for the CTP. You'll see a lot more improvements as we iterate.
Okay.
I'm going to show you one little trick for getting IntelliSense to just in case anyone wants to try this with the release that's coming out very shortly.
Cool.
So there's our hi, Beth. And one little trick, just kind of quick aside, if you go inside Tools Options, you can tell Visual Studio that you want to download all the VS doc files for all these frameworks. It's not turned on by default, so if you go into Text Editor here, there's JavaScript and IntelliSense. It's kind of buried here. So there's this little checkbox which says download remote references.
Okay.
And what this will do is that, if you'll notice, it'll go and start downloading the VS doc files, which is kind of like the IntelliSense files for all the frameworks. And and it'll go ahead and then now it'll start giving us even better IntelliSense.
Gotcha.
So turn that option on and you'll be a happy camper.
That's a good tip.
So yeah, if we now see we get the full IntelliSense, it tells us what all the parameters are.
That's cool.
So kind of useful little option.
That's good to learn. Bye.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and we ran that, and let's go ahead and switch over to a kind of in-progress app. It'll fast forward to a lot of the more interesting aspects of the API. All right. So let's just run this up real quick, and you can see what the app does. So here we've got, I just cleaned up our formatting of the list item, use the same construct there.
Got the Bing map on there, cool.
We've got the Bing map. We also have an edit button, and there's built-in support for dialogues.
Okay.
Another real big piece of feedback we've gotten for the existing Silverlight client is people really want the ability to change all those built-in dialogues.
Right.
So what we've done with the HTML client is just allow you to use any screen inside, you know, rehost that screen as a dialogue. You have full control over it. We can go ahead and customize this, and there's no restriction on it. We actually don't create any of these by default for you. You could just build them yourself.
So how do you tell the screen designer that I want to edit stuff?
Yeah, so what we'll do here is jump back, and we'll look at that screen, and you'll see a few differences here. So at the very top level of the screen designer, you see this tab section, And if you look at the app, there's just a set of tabs across the top. It's very similar to the Windows Pivot Control,
okay.
If you're familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this new section here called Dialogues. And this just allows us to, you know, break apart what's considered a modal window today into a separate area in the Screen Designer.
Gotcha. It's kind of like a screen set. Almost.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yep.
Okay.
And then if we look at our Edit button, we'll see that there's just some built-in, the same UI that I showed you before, to show that dialogue.
So you can write your own code, or you can choose from a set of standard actions here.
So, for example, if I, I've got my list of photos here, and I can go ahead and add a button, and you'll see that all of the methods that are already there, so let's say I want my own custom dialogue for editing photos or adding photos, we provide you the method, so we could say add an edit new, and then we would select a piece of UI or a screen that we want to go to when we add a new photo.
Gotcha. So, because in this, with Silverlight, we have like a command bar, and the commands just kind of show up by default that you can have. So this is kind of just like all on one screen.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it gives you a little bit finer grain control over what shows up.
Okay. Cool. I dig it.
All right.
Seems pretty easy to figure out too.
So one of the other things that you know, has been a big source of frustration, I think, for a lot of folks is that a lot of our controls include a lot of the logic that people want, let's say the email control or the phone
right.
number control. So the neat thing about using HTML is that we can actually rely on the browser's support for all of our built-in semantic types, and there's no custom control for these. So what I'm going to do is just, we've got our dialog here, allowing us to edit. And if we look at this email field, we're going to open up F12.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of good IE debugging. I have to say, I really like the IE debugging. It's by far my favorite way to figure this stuff out. So the neat thing here is that if you look at the HTML, it's very much standard HTML. It's going to look a lot like the HTML you would have had to build yourself. So here we've got an email control, and all it is an input element. And you'll see that there's some HTML5 input type information on here. It says it's an email. And that declarative validation that you can set in the Entity Designer, we go ahead and map that to the HTML5 elements.
Okay.
So that if I'm on, let's say, a different browser on a different device, I would actually get the email keyboard. Like if you browse through it on your Windows phone, you'll get the little .com and stuff
cool.
like that.
Okay.
And every browser will render this a little bit differently. That's one of the nice things about HTML5 is that you get the UI that's most pertinent to your device.
Okay.
You know, we're not building an email control here. We're just relying on what the device does.
That's
they typically do a much better job than
right.
us. And,
right,
than
you
anybody.
Know, yeah, exactly. You know, it's stuff that you don't have to worry about, too, as a team can focus on other things about value.
Yep. And the other thing, we've really taken great pains in building up the HTML to make it semantically correct so that if folks really want to understand what's going on, or maybe they want to customize part of the UI, they can very easily just go ahead and open F12. They can browse the DOM or use the DOM Explorer in VS 2012, which is also really useful for this, to just see what's generated, and then you can use jQuery to go customize that.
Gotcha.
So
you mentioned customizing. So custom controls. We can use custom controls in Silverlight. How do we use custom controls in HTML?
So two ways. They're kind of two flavors of this.
Because I noticed the big map is a custom control. Right?
Yeah, so let's take a look at this particular UI. There's actually two pieces here that are kind of interesting. The first is that I've customized the screen title to be dynamic with data binding, so I'll show you how that's done. And then there's this big map control, which is also data bound. So if you go ahead and change this, let's say, to our current address, you'll notice that in the background, we changed the location. And this is one of the things that, you know, out of the box, HTML is not super great at is data binding. That's more, you know, it really was pretty painful to go from the power of WPF and Silverlight to HTML for data binding.
Right.
But,
okay, cool.
There are APIs which we've provided to do that. So now you can see it's updated our location. There's no manual refresh.
Okay.
So we'll jump to that code. And you'll see that we know that we have saved changes because we changed the address, so all that's just hooked up for you.
Cool.
So we take a look at this. kind of walk you through piece by piece. Here's that render function that we saw earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a real simple data binding expression which says, I want to bind the content item. So that's the item in the screen designer that we see. It's the appointment. I want to bind the street to this function. So in other words, when the street value changes, I'm going to go rebind my map. And this is just real simple stuff that is creating the div and using the Bing map control.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
This is just the Bing map control. We're passing in some options and so on. Nothing fancy there.
So you could like literally grab any control off the internet and stick it in here.
Yeah. So let's take a look at that. So one of the cool things is that because we are in this JavaScript world, there's a lot already out there. So
we've
really re-examined how we think about our projects and that sort of stuff, and we've made it so that you can just go ahead and use the NuGet package manager.
Cool.
To go ahead and just drop new things into your project. So if we look online, there's quite a lot here, and we're going to search for one of our partners who I happen to know builds pretty awesome controls. Search for jQuery UI. Okay, so we could add jQuery. We can add jQuery UI, which is a UI framework. This is pretty useful, so maybe we'll just go ahead and stick that in our project. And you'll see that
nice. It
just sticks everything in there for you.
It's like a standard web application.
Yeah, it's
right?
We've really tried to follow the patterns that are already there.
Okay.
And
so our web developers should be able, that are just pure web developers, should be able to come over to Lightswitch from that perspective and really easily get started as well.
Yeah, so let's take a look at that. If we open up, while we've got our file view here, let's close our content. And I'll just walk you through what's actually in our HTML files.
Okay.
So you can see here that we're just including the jQuery mobile library via CDN. And we've got our own jQuery mobile themes, so I'll show you how to change that pretty easily. So this is another thing we get a lot of requests for. I don't know how many requests we get for, I want the source code to the theme that we ship in the box because I want to customize some of the colors.
Right.
So what we did was we took the jQuery mobile theme and made it a more metro version of it, which will work with jQuery mobile in general, but definitely with Lightswitch really well. We added two versions of it, and we put them both in the product. All the source code is there, and I can just go ahead and look at the content folder here. So
you just make changes directly to the CSS?
Exactly. So
okay.
I can change the CSS, or I can just copy and paste the CSS file, too.
Cool.
So
if I want to change the entire look and feel of the app, it's just CSS.
Yeah, exactly. So if we look at our dark CSS, we really intended for people to be able to read this. So if you open it in F12 or if you open it here, it's reasonably well commented so you can tell what exactly you're editing.
Cool.
So all I would do is copy and paste. If I was going to do this myself, I'd probably copy and paste my file here, and then I'd go back to my default HTM, and I want to include that as my first CSS entry.
Okay.
And then it's going to take whatever values we put in there. So here's our new copy
mm-hmm.
of the theme. We'd include it here, and then we can just start editing this file and do whatever we want.
That's cool.
The other cool thing is that, as I mentioned, you can add your own CSS files. And this is, I find, a really easy way to go and customize the UI without having to write a lot of code. So if we take a look at this tile list, this is kind of a neat little chunk of CSS just found on the web for formatting our list items into more of a block or tile view, which tends to work a lot better for different device sizes. So just copy and paste the CSS into our project. I put it inside our default HTM here. And then if I just go to our home screen where we've got our list, so we'll add it in here. All we're going to do is now add that CSS class to the existing list item.
Okay. so that it'll pick up the new styles.
Yep. So again, we'll use jQuery and we'll say, take the element, which is, you know, this root div that's passed in for the list. And we're going to find all the list items underneath the element. And we're going to add this class to it, which is called tileList, if you recall from the CSS.
Right.
And it's kind of amazing that something this simple is actually changes the UI pretty dramatically.
Cool.
But now we've got our block style list items. It's a little more modern. You know, as we grow and shrink, we're going to get, you know, just reflowing of all the...
So that would be more appropriate for a tablet style?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like rotate. For original, it's more like a mobile device.
Right. Yep.
Okay, cool.
And we are actually planning to add a fair number of these types of layouts just in the box, because we know some people use really small devices. Right. Some people have big, wide tablets with high resolution. I've seen, and we have a few of the Windows 8 devices that go up pretty high, so they definitely can display a lot more information.
So, question for you. Can you add multiple HTML clients to the app? So let's say you have tablet devices and you have mobile devices. Okay. So you want one model of your data,
yep,
services, but you want multiple HTML clients.
Yep.
You can do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And all you do is you just go ahead and add another client. So inside here, say add our...
And you just name it like tablet client?
Yeah,
like
so
that.
Here's
okay.
our
cool.
tablet clients. And then if I really wanted to get fancy, I could just use standard Visual Studio stuff to share CSS and stuff like that if I really wanted to share any of that between
gotcha.
The two. But, of course, all the data model and metadata is automatically shared.
So when you deploy it, what do you get? Do you get, like, how do you direct users where you want? Do you get multiple endpoints?
Yeah, so you get, we basically create different directories for each client
okay, gotcha.
in the deployed environment.
Okay, cool.
And then you just... give people whatever URL you're interested
gotcha.
In.
So it's actually a Silverlight client, and then so they'll have its own directory.
Yep.
All
the clients are peers to one another.
Cool.
We have a few code snippets we'll post out there if you want to have an automatic listing of your clients. So if you just hit the root server, you'll get the list of all the clients that are installed.
Seems pretty standard.
Yeah, pretty simple stuff. I think folks will hopefully be kind of inspired by some of this work. It definitely opens up a lot of opportunity for what you're able to build. You know, it's just really cool to be able to build an app using all this business logic, using OData, using all the tools we've already built that actually run everywhere. You know,
not having to write a lot of code. For instance, I admit I'm not a JavaScript developer at all, but I think I can figure this out.
Yeah,
if you're already a JavaScript developer, it's actually pretty easy to figure out Lightswitch.
Yes.
You know, if you know data modeling, you can do Lightswitch, right? But you know, so I know all how to do the data modeling. I was very nervous about learning JavaScript again or relearning it. I used to do it a very long time ago.
Yeah.
So I think though it's doing so much of the plumbing for you that I think I can figure this out.
Yeah, and they're really. You know, I'm in the same boat. I'm a VB guy. I love VB, you know, and it's just a big shift, you know. But the thing that I actually find coming as a VB developer and using JavaScript and the two combined, you know, all of my middle tiers written in VB, as you saw, they do actually have a fair number of similarities in terms of typing and stuff like that, in terms of flexibility. And the other thing is that, you know, I really wanted to format that list into the tiles, and it was, you know, quick search, here's some CSS, you know, there's a huge JavaScript community out there. And just being able to use all of that code and all those resources as is a big step forward.
Especially with those, like the bitmap controls, you're really literally just building it as you would in any other web application you're building, and there's no special extensibility model that you have to build upon and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so anybody who... and most frameworks do publish their stuff as NuGet packages. It really is just as simple as right-clicking and adding it, and
That lowers the barrier of like entry into Lightswitch.
Yeah, that's really, you know, we know that there's a lot more people who are interested in Lightswitch, but oftentimes that hurdle you have to get over in order to write custom controls, or you know, we like, you know, 80% of what you've got, but we just need this extra 20% that's a little bit custom, and we really want to provide a better story for those folks as we go forward.
Not that the extensibility model was that complicated. I think the shells were probably the most complicated thing.
Yeah.
Building a custom control isn't too bad, but building a shell is pretty pretty hard. So
yeah,
doing it in CSS is like way better.
It's interesting, you know, the Metro and Cosmopolitan shell and theme. You know, I wrote the original versions of those before the developers took them and made them real. You know, and,
right.
Fixed all my bugs. and you know, it's. I think even for somebody on the team, there's just a lot of pieces to put together, and we use that information in that kind of context to make that a lot easier. So I think folks will find as you drill down into this, you'll hopefully find that it's a lot more familiar. And the more familiar you are with jQuery Mobile and standard JavaScript, I think
that's where your extensibility is. Just learning that in. That's cool. But that also like gives you skills to do any web application. Right?
Yeah.
So
yep.
That's actually all. This is so awesome, I have to say. I'm, like, super excited about this. I know everybody in the community has been waiting for us to say something about what we were doing. You know, so Silverlight is still the you know, main data, heavy-duty data entry style, you know, works with, you know, COM automation, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Your traditional business applications all pretty much do that kind of thing.
Yep.
But the companion apps, it's huge, right? Enterprises are running around with, you know, trying to figure out how to, you know, lasso all these mobile devices and tablet devices out there, and, you know, and being able to put business data on these devices is critical for the businesses these days. So your business, it's not just about simple, you know, desktop apps anymore. Right. So, you know, going to OData was the first step, and now, boom, we can do the HTML client. I'm excited about this.
We're very excited, you know, and we're going to be handing out copies of this early CTP pretty soon.
Cool.
So folks can try it. It is, you know, I think we're so excited about it, we actually want to get it in people's hands early so we can get as much feedback as we can.
Okay.
It's in a really early state, so your mileage might vary a little bit, but we're very much interested in having folks give it a try. And
well, you're going to start blogging for us and showing us how this stuff works.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
you're
excited that you've been in the dark for a very long time.
I know.
And
well, I've been working on this for very long.
Joe is here. Joe is back, and I'm very excited. So anything else you want to tell the community about this? There is a resources page on the Dev Center. It's right now, we got a little coming soon for the CTP, but once that releases in a couple weeks, all the resources will go on the Dev Center. I'll get the link up on the Channel 9 video. We're awaiting all your blog posts.
Yeah, you know,
questions. We got a new forum for this, too, so people can discuss in the forums and ask Joe questions.
Yeah, absolutely. And if folks, you know, if we're always interested in providing the content folks are most interested in first. So,
And getting feedback. This is early enough to really get some good feedback, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean, you'll be able to tell pretty early that there's just a lot of things that aren't there yet. We actually made a conscious decision with this one to say, you know what, we want to get something out there.
Right.
We want to show folks where we're going. Hopefully they're as excited about this as we are. And also, you know, we do have a lot more opportunity to actually respond and kind of change the direction here, invest in different areas. I think you'll see us, as we get that feedback, really start to pinpoint some vertical scenarios that are probably we know folks are trying to build with this, or will try and build.
Gotcha. So this will be kind of when we release this, will be an add-on to Visual Studio 2012.
Yep.
Right. Correct.
Yep.
Okay. Cool. So we need to get RC in everybody's hands right now, so we can lock that down and then get people to start playing with the CTP when that comes out.
That's right.
Got it.
Yeah. So this is all built on the RC. So you will be. There's kind of some logistics for getting this working, which we'll send out when we actually release the bits. But
Awesome. Well, that also allows us to iterate a little bit quicker on things too, done a little bit off-cycle stuff, right?
Yep.
So, cool. Well, Joe, seriously, we're so excited.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
All right.
Thank you for HTML. All right, guys. So hopefully you guys will download the CTP when it comes available. Check our blog for all the information and everything you're going to need. And definitely ping Joe through the forums if you need to ask some questions and give feedback. So thank you very much. Thanks,
all right.
Joe.
Thanks a lot.
Good.